Sheikhing it up with Sheikh Fayaz. Nightly Ramadan Reflections.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Beginning in chapter 2, verse number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to outline for us the story of the beginning of creation. He states, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. And when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place on the earth a vicegerent. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. The angels responded toward God after he said that he was going to place a vicegerent on the earth. They responded by saying, O Allah, are you going to create a creation and place him on the earth, one who will cause bloodshed and cause corruption, while we sing your praises and we extol you day and night? To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He responds that surely I know something that you do not know. In Islamic tradition, the angels are seen as creations of God, which fulfill solely the instruction that God has given them. If God tells them to stand, they stand. If God tells them to sit, they sit. If God tells them to bow, they bow. If God tells them to prostrate, they prostrate. Whatever God tells them to do, they immediately respond toward his requests. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, O angels, I'm going to create a creation who is known as my khalifa, who is known as my vicegerent, who is known as my representative on earth, naturally they pose their question, and they even pose their protest toward their creator, stating, O God, why would you create a creation who's different than us? We already fulfill the reason why you wanted to create any creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another verse of the whole Quran, he states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We did not create man, nor did we create jinn. We did not create creation except for the sole purpose of worship. And thus the angels, they protest toward God and they say, O God, if you want someone to worship you, you have us to worship you. If you want someone to praise you, we praise you. If you want someone to fulfill the responsibilities of obedience and of loyalty and fidelity, then we already do that. Why would you want to create a creation that causes bloodshed, that causes corruption? Naturally, a logical conclusion that these angels have come to. And many exegetes and scholars of theology, they state that perhaps it was the angels who were even instructed to respond toward God in such a way where they protest when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that he's going to create a creation, again in the idea that angels only do what they've been instructed from God and they follow through on that instruction absolutely. To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surely I know something that you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds toward the angels in a way to demonstrate his knowledge is far greater than the knowledge of theirs, and that his wisdom far transcends the knowledge and the wisdom of his creation. He could have given the reason very directly and very clearly within the whole Quran, but he does not do so. Perhaps so that we sit back and we reflect. Perhaps so that we sit back and we speculate. Why did God respond in such a way? And why did God respond to the angels without actually giving them any sort of a definitive answer? If we take a look at the history of human civilization from the very earliest days until this very day, we see that creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about that he was going to create absolutely allowed for so much corruption on God's green earth to take place. Allowed for so much bloodshed on God's blessed earth to occur by the hands of the human being. How many world wars, how many atrocities, how much homelessness, how much poverty, how much rape, how many orphans do we have in the world today? And the images of what we see on a day-to-day basis, they have the potential to shatter our hearts and our souls. And many times people, they land on very difficult questions that they need to wrestle through when they see all of those images or when they hear all of those anecdotes about the challenges and the obstacles that people all across the world have to face. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes a statement and he tells those angels when they protest why he would create another creation, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know something about that creation. I know something about the human being that you do not know. What does it mean then to be a human being? And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak of us, his creation, as this human being in perhaps such a lofty way? Or if you were to take a look at it from the perspective of the angels as a creation who causes bloodshed and who causes corruption. And where are we? Are we amongst the secrets of God? Or are we amongst those who the angels confirm would cause so much atrocity in the world? Again, we can never say definitively why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded in that way. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surely I know something that you do not know. But if you want to sit back and reflect, and if you want to sit back and contemplate, perhaps it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that within the human being, there is this incredible potential that far outweighs all of the atrocities that take place in the world because of their incredible nature and the incredible gift that they're going to give back to the world that they're living in. If you want to really be able to determine what it means to be a human being who validates God's statement on that day when he spoke to the angels about the creation of Adam, then we need to be able to be in a state of recognizing God's greatest creations. And exactly what they gave back to the world in terms of knowledge, in terms of insight, in terms of wisdom, and in terms of a lesson whereby we can apply that to the world today. Today, the 21st night of the holy month of Ramadan, moving in to the blessed morning of it, is the day which marks the passing of again the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. As he mentioned a couple of episodes ago, on the 19th of the blessed month of Ramadan, he was struck while he was in the state of prayer in the mosque of Kufa. The successor and the brother and the cousin and the son-in-law of the Prophet of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali, peace be upon him, was the closest confidant of the Prophet, alayhi salam. And on the 21st of Ramadan, after he had been struck on his blessed head with a sword by a man, the sword of a man by the name of Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, the poison and the intensity of that strike began to affect his body. And on the morning of the 21st of the month of Ramadan, he passed away. And I give you this insight in order to explain really what it means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the angels when he stated, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surely I know something that you do not know. Ali ibn Abi Talib, in his last final moments of his life, he was able to put into perspective what perhaps God meant on that day. The historians and traditions, they come forth to speak of the fact that on the 21st of Ramadan, as Imam Ali alayhi salam was lying on his deathbed and he was in his final moments, it is said that his family members, they were able to capture the enemy, the man who had struck him on his blessed head while he was in that state of prayer. They brought him to his room in order that perhaps he seeks forgiveness from his victim Ali. And because he had struck the political leader of that time and the single most powerful man in the world in the 6th or the 7th century, a man who ruled so much of the world today as we know it in terms of the Islamic Empire, he was brought into his room as Ali alayhi salam was on his deathbed. And he was brought in a way where his hands were tied and he was brought in front of his victim. And when Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he saw the state by which his killer was brought to him, meaning that his hands were tied because of the fact that he was a criminal naturally, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he looks toward his son Hassan and he says, "Oh Hassan, do not bring him closer to me when his hands are tied like a wild beast." And it is said immediately they went and they untied him. And then Abdurrahman ibn Muljim, imagine this really horrific human being. He sees Ali ibn Abi Talib, the man who he made an assassination attempt upon, a man who was again the head of state, the political leader, God's divine representative on earth as well. He was in a state of fear of what's going to happen to him. Is he going to be a recipient of capital punishment at that very moment? How is the one who he struck, how is the one who he tried to kill going to respond to him? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he looked toward Ibn Muljim and he saw that he was in a state of anxiety and that he was in a state of poverty and that he was in a state of real depression at that moment. He was worried at what was going to happen to him. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam saw his face and the fear that he was struck by, again he looked toward his son Hassan and he said, oh Hassan, he said, Ibn Muljim, he looks like he's scared. Give him some food, give him some milk, give him something to drink in order to console him at this moment. Can you imagine? The man who tries to kill you, a man who tries to take away your rights, a man or woman who does something that affects you and your family, even in the slightest, by taking a couple of dollars from you. What's it going to take for us to be in the state of forgiving them? Or what's it going to be in a state where we actually come forth and push ourselves to take a higher ground and to take a higher standard? Naturally, it's something that's incredibly difficult. But when Ali ibn Abi Talib looks his killer dead in the eyes, he says, "I see fear in his heart. Give him some food and give him some drink because I don't want to see him in this state." When you reflect upon this for just one moment, you're able to realize exactly what it means to be a human being. That in spite of the fact that his killer was right in front of him, he still recognized that he was a man that had feelings, that he was a human being who had a sense of emotion. And though he eventually received whatever it was that he received in God's eyes and capital punishment according to the law, at that moment he was able to recognize what brought fear in his heart and was able to console it. And for that is a lesson for all of humanity. Because I swear that if Ali ibn Abi Talib, he does what he does on that particular morning of the 21st of Ramadan, for a man who is an aggressor, a man who is an oppressor, in the way that he was in Ibn Muljim, then I know that Ali ibn Abi Talib, he responded in that way because of his God consciousness. Because he recognized that if he serves humanity well, then God will serve him well. And that if he does the right thing and extend his hand, then God will metaphorically extend his hand to us. When the angels, they pose that question, "Oh Allah, why would you create a creation that is going to cause bloodshed and going to cause oppression and going to cause all acts of aggression when we sing your praises and when we are in the state of worship to you day and night? The minute that you ask for anything from us, we respond to you." And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun," surely I know something that you do not know. Perhaps God was stating that there are going to be creations of mine that are not only in the state of physical worship to me, but their actions and their etiquette and their morals transcend rites, prayers, fasting, hajj, so on and so forth. That their acts transcend all of those deeds and they take you exactly to the purpose and to the end. Because remember, as we mentioned before, acts of worship are a means to an end. The end is to be in a state of God consciousness. The end is to make you into a better person. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib on the 21st of Ramadan, he gives us just a little bit of insight in regards to what it means to be a human being. Because God created us not so that we can solely be in a state of worship by means of standing and bowing and prostrating, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with our hearts and with our souls and with this light that has the potential to illuminate the hearts of those around us, to give light and to give wisdom and to give generosity and to give compassion and to give mercy to those sitting around us, to those in our presence. What Ali alayhi salam does on that day was give a timeless lesson in regards to what it means to be a human being. Even your aggressor, even your opponent, even your enemy, be in a state of recognition of who they are and where they come from. Because performing an act like that, performing an act of humbling yourself even in front of your enemy, as difficult as that is, and just thinking about that sort of that particular anecdote really has the potential to allow for us to humble ourselves in front of amongst God's most beloved creations in Ali alayhi salam, and really recognize what it means when he tells one of his companions, "I see God not with my eyes but with the vision of my heart." Because his recognition of his creator allows him to be a better person and to stand for a higher moral standard than anyone else would. We also need to learn from that lesson, whereby we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every juncture and at every moment within our life. And thus it allows us to be the servants of community, and it allows us to be the servants of those around us. And it again allows us to humble ourselves in front of the creation so that they humble themselves in front of their Lord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability and the potential to live our lives according to the etiquette that we've been taught to by the Prophet and by his successor Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
Follow Sheikh Fayaz on Twitter @FayazJaffer and look out for him on Facebook.